I was in churches for many years and never did find the peace that I was looking for. And thank God that I did know the reality of His forgiveness, and there was a drive within me to want to know Him at any cost. Except I really didn't want to give up the flesh. Have any of you ever been there? You really, really want God, but the flesh is so strong. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, the journey through the wilderness. It's what we call the Pentecost experience. And I'm not going to talk about Pentecost in the traditional way, except to say that, normally when someone speaks on Pentecost, they teach about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and that's not where I'm going tonight with this, although I will say that's one of the most valuable experiences you will ever have. I'll never forget, not too long after I experienced the Lord, I was so hungry for more of Him. And someone mentioned to me that there was another experience called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And they gave to me a little book called They Speak in Other Tongues by John and Elizabeth Sherrill. And that book is still available. But I read that, and that book caused such a hunger within me, yet I did not know any Pentecostal people at that time. And all I knew was, according to the book, there was a group of Christians that called themselves Pentecostals, and I knew that I had to find them because I wanted this experience. So I went to the Yellow Pages in the phone book, and I looked under, Pentecostal churches, and I found one close to me, and I went to them, and it was on a Wednesday night, and after service, I shared with the pastor that I wanted this experience they called speaking in tongues. And he said, well, we have a Bible study on Saturday night. If you'll come, we'll pray for you. And so that Saturday night, I went to the Bible study, and they laid hands on me, and I spoke in tongues, and it's been one of the most marvelous tools in my life that I have spent literally. When I was pastoring, I used to spend sometimes 6 and 8 hours a day just praying in the Spirit. So it's a valuable, valuable tool and experience. It's when you pray in an unknown tongue, Paul says in Corinthians that your mind is unfruitful. In other words, you really don't know what you're praying. But I found sometimes that after praying that way for hours, that revelation would just come to me. And almost all of my messages that I gave 15 years ago when I was pastoring came from that time of being in the Lord's presence and praying in the Spirit and then having Him. It was almost like I would interpret what I was saying. I would get revelation from what I was praying. But anyway, that's really not what I want to share with you tonight. What I want to share with you tonight is the journey through the wilderness. And that represents Pentecost also. We sang a song tonight, and the words are this: I will take you back to where you were in me before the fall of man. I'll restore your soul, I'll reconcile your heart, and give you back your true identity. I'll never forget the first time I heard that song. My, what a tremendous blessing. But that's exactly what the Lord is doing in these days. He is unveiling our eyes, as we shared last night. He is unveiling our eyes, and He is revealing Christ in all of His glory, in all of His reality, in all of His fullness within us. And today, more than ever before, I find all across America and other places where I go that people more than ever before, at least that I've ever found, are so hungry for the reality of Christ. Amen. Yet also everywhere I go, I find people who want God, but they were in the condition that I was in for many years, is they're in this wilderness journey, living by their soul life, living by their carnal nature, living by this carnal image in their mind of a human being who has not been able to overcome the works of the flesh. Yet that is our heart's desire. Before, this is a basic thing I want to read here tonight that we all need to understand. Because we feel, and we've been taught in religion, that we have an enemy that's seems to be even more powerful than God. And that we have to be so on guard and that we have to be so careful because this enemy will destroy us. And so we get our eyes focused on what the enemy is doing within our soul life rather than on what God is saying and doing in our spirit. In Colossians chapter 1, In verse 13 it says, speaking of Christ, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us or transferred us into the kingdom of his Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now listen to these next verses carefully. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Will really help you in your journey back to God to understand that all things were created by him and for him. And when you really understand the working of the enemy, he is really a tool in the hand of God that God uses for your correction and your judgment. He's not able to destroy you. He is only here to bring correction. In 1 Peter 2, 2 and 3, this is where we begin our journey. As newborn babes desire the sincere, and that word sincere really is better read pure. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I think we all have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And we need to really learn to enjoy the Word of God. Now, I don't know how. You know, a lot of people are saying today that we have graduated beyond this word. I would not probably be alive today if it was not for this word.
Amen.
And I believe the only way that we could graduate from this word, and you know, if you listen to some of this crazy stuff that is said, your mind can fall for it. Because it's said like this, well, you know, when we go to school, we have textbooks. But, you know, when you're in high school, you don't go back and read your kindergarten books. And there needs to come a day when you graduate from this, and you don't need anything. You don't need to keep going back to your textbooks. Well, if that's where you are, if you never need to go back to this word, then I expect to see the fullness of the Godhead manifested in you. Because this is the instruction book This is the roadmap. This is the mystery that will reveal all of the fullness of God in you. And if you don't really, really, and you know, this is not God. But it is the roadmap to God. And you cannot advance. You cannot ever get through the wilderness of your soul journey. You'll never be able to put down the carnality of your flesh until you understand the roadmap on how to do it. And this is the roadmap. Now also, this book is a two-edged sword. It will either give you life or it will kill you. Because as the letter of the word, it will kill you. There was a time when almost every time I'd go to the word, I would see things that would just kill me. Because I was approaching it from the carnal side of one being under the law. And if you are under the law and you are trying to attain godliness through making your carnal human being a better person, this thing will continually kill you every time you read it. But if you approach the word from the spiritual identity, remember, I will take you back to where you were before the fall of man. I'll restore your soul. I'll reconcile your heart, and I will give you back your true identity. So we all need to have a revelation of our identity. We are spiritual beings. We were created in Genesis chapter 1 and made in the image of God as a spiritual being. And God is going to and is revealing to us our true nature and identity, and is taking us back to where we were in Him before the fall of man. That's what this journey is all about. Amen. There will come a day when you will, in the fullness of God, reveal Him to humanity. And you know, all of us living in this human body with a human consciousness, none of us in that consciousness have the ability to believe that we will be one of those overcomers in the book of Revelation, or that we could possibly be the fullness of God on the earth. Yet that is exactly when you have unveiled to you, and if you don't see this, go to God for a revelation of who you are. What is my true nature? Because see, for years we focused on the natural man, the human personality that is separated and alienated in your mind from the life of God that is in your spirit. Remember what we shared last night, that he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. If you have been regenerated, if you have been quickened by the power of God, then your spirit and God's spirit is one spirit. And once you have that revelation, you never again have to try to be holy. You see, because holiness is wherever God is. And when you have this in reality, we're not talking about theories, we're not talking about doctrines. We're talking about God unveiling you to who you are in Him. It's not about what you will become. It's not about Gary becoming God. It's about God filling this temple with Himself and swallowing up all that Gary is in the natural. You see, that's the journey that we're on. It's not a human journey. It's not a carnal nature. It's not a human personality that is trying to change his life to be some kind of a god. Not at all. It's about God filling this temple with Himself. It's about God from the very depths of my being. It's about God from my spirit flowing into my mind, emotion, and will, and saturating my body until He becomes fully manifested in humanity. You see, this is the gospel. Yet we have had it backwards, and we are taught that, well, you know, you can't do this and you can't do that, and if you do do this or you do do that, you know, there's no hope for you. But your hope is in spirit. Your hope is in learning, and you can learn how to live out from the deepest part of your being, which is spirit. You can learn to speak from your spirit. And the words that flow from the deepest recesses of your being, the words that flow from your lips, are just as life-changing and transforming as if Jesus Himself were here speaking to you. He said to His disciples, "You are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." And when you realize that that same Jesus, the resurrected, transcendent, all-knowing, all-powerful essence of God is now within you, and you begin to operate from that perspective, you begin to speak from that identity, you begin to change your mind about who you are, and you begin to agree with who God says you are, you are not a weak, miserable, sin-laden human being. You are a son of God on this earth. And when you realize you are a son of God on this earth, you will begin to overcome. And you won't have to try to overcome. Jesus is the only overcomer. He is the only one who is the fullness of God. And on that day of resurrection, when He breathed into His disciples and said, "Receive ye the Spirit," that same life, the same nature, the same character, all the essence of God was breathed into those men, and they came alive in the power of God. You say, why isn't that happening today? Because of religion. Because religion tells you that you are the one that has to overcome. Religion is the most horrible evil on the face of the earth. You know what Paul said in Galatians? He said, God has delivered us from this present evil age. And if you read the context in that chapter, of chapter 1 of Galatians, and he goes on to tell about all of his deeds in religion. And I believe that the present evil age that Paul was delivered from was his religiosity. And if there's anything that the people of God need to be delivered from today, it's the religious system. Because it will keep you in bondage. It will keep you thinking that you are bound to it. Keep you in a false identity of one who is trying to take their natural person and make it into a godly person. And again, it's not about anything like that at all. It's about God, by the power of His Spirit, coming alive in you. So we're on a journey. When I learned, when God first began to speak to me, what I've just shared with you in the last few minutes about, it's about His life operating in you. It's not about what you can do. Because the more you try to do it in the flesh, the further away from God you will get. But when you understand again, going back last night, when you understand Passover, Passover means that you are in the house, this house, the blood has been applied to the world. God has no problem with my sin any longer. God has no problem with my disobedience any longer. Because the blood speaks and says, not guilty. You see, I am not guilty because I came here from a heavenly realm. I fell as a seed into this earth, and I lost my identity. And I was raised by my parents and by religion to think I am something that I am not. But God is restoring our true identity and nature. And once you're quickened by the power of God, once you're regenerated, you start a journey then from your spirit, and that is the key. You can't walk this journey from flesh to spirit. You have to walk it from spirit to flesh. We've had the journey backwards. You can't do it in the natural mindset and the human personality. You must realize that the Spirit of God has been quickened in you. And as you learn how to feed that Spirit and nourish that Spirit and water the seed of God on the inside of you, that seed in you will grow and unfold and just effortlessly begin to live a life that is holy and undefiled and separate from sinners. It's not about a performance. It's about another life. How many times I have said that the new creation, brother, has nothing of the old. In the new creation, man, nothing exists of the old. The old is still in your mind. The old is still in your carnal thinking and your reasonings. But in your spirit, you are a brand new creation. Amen. Your spirit is another person altogether. And that person is holy and undefiled. That person has never been tainted by the fall. It's a brand new creation with nothing of the old. So why would we focus and center on trying to take this human person and make it into something better? We have the better on the inside of us. Amen. So we must learn how to function from that part of our being that is godly. Yeah. And I use the word learn, but you know what? You can't learn it. God reveals it to you by His Spirit. How many times I read last night about the mystery of God? It's revealed. Paul said the mystery was revealed to his apostles and prophets. The mystery that's been hidden from ages and generations. Christ in you, the hope of glory. If Christ is truly in you, how could you be a failure? Only if you have not understood regeneration and you still are living by the old unrenewed mind. A lot of people tell you, well, the way out of the wilderness is to crucify the flesh, to kill the old man, to deny yourself daily. You know it doesn't work. Because the more you try in the flesh to kill the flesh, the more alive it will become. 1 Corinthians 15, and I think it's about verse 52 or 55, says, the strength of sin is in the law. So the moment you try to live for God from a sense of right and wrong or a sense of the law from the natural realm, it gives strength to your sin. Have you ever tried to diet? Quit smoking? Or any number of things. And you see that the sin will get stronger. Anytime you put yourself under a law, you give strength to the sin. Well, we have a real dilemma here. We have God in our spirit. We're brand new creations. And it's important to remember that when you are regenerated, you are as a newborn babe. That's why Paul says, or as Peter says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word. And I'll tell you, the real pure milk of the word is that which God speaks to you. It's not the dead letters on the page. It's the words that jump out at you when you read them. It's when you're in the presence of God and you sense Him speaking to you. Those words you can live on. Those words will nourish you and cause your spirit to grow. So we have in our spirit, not what we have, but what we are. We are a brand new creation. So Paul says in Galatians 5 and 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." Now this is our problem, because we get into the natural thinking on how in the world do we walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. We'll get into that here in a little bit. "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." It sounds like Romans chapter 7, doesn't it? "But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law." Very important verse there. If you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, these are the kind of verses I used to read, and they would kill me dead. Because I loved God, Brother Vic, I really did. But I could read this list, and I mean, I could see them all over the place in me. Lust and wrath and, you know. And so if you don't understand what God is doing, then you read all of these things and you begin to make resolutions. You begin to go to God and repent, and I'm not saying that's bad, but you know, if you're like me, I would say, "God, I'll never do that again. I can see that was wrong. And tomorrow I would do it again." And so the more I would do it, the more it would convince me that I would never, and it says even here, "They that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, it doesn't say you won't be saved. It doesn't say anything about heaven or hell. It doesn't say, it just says, if you do these things, you will not inherit the kingdom. Well, what is the kingdom? Righteousness, joy, and peace. The kingdom of God is where God rules and reigns. Now, I can guarantee you, if God, by His Spirit, is ruling and reigning in you, you will not find these things operating in your life. But the key is, not when you read this, you fall under condemnation, and then you start making resolutions out of the carnal reasoning because you know, inside you want the kingdom of God. But the flesh wars against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And it's like I shared last night, if you're a newborn babe and you have all of these things already almost perfected in your life and the carnal, you know, mind, the lust and all of the stuff that you shouldn't do, if you were like me, I was 29 years old and I was well versed in all of these things that I shouldn't do, but I had that new life born on the inside of me. That's why it's so important to understand Passover. It's so important to know that God is not holding you accountable for your sin and why he is not holding you accountable. He is not holding you accountable for your sin, number one, because of Calvary, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing The word impute means accountable, not holding man accountable for his sin. Why? Because you left a position in him and you came to this earth, and through the birth canal, you totally lost your identity. We haven't the foggiest, some of us, where we came from, why we are here, or where we're going. And so God wants you to look at Calvary, and if you're full of all of these things, He wants you to understand that because of Calvary, He does not hold you accountable for your sin. If you understand that, it will free up your consciousness to go to God to find the help you need. But as long as you're condemned in your own mind, you can't find the help that you need. You have to realize that the blood that was shed was enough for you, no matter what your condition in life. Now here's the other side. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. When you really understand the love of God, and you understand the forgiveness of God, you understand Passover and the blood has been applied to your life, you can then begin to appreciate, first of all, what God has done for you. And then when your spirit is quickened and you begin to sense that new life within you, when you begin to experience that new life within you, that is the beginning of your journey through Pentecost or through the wilderness. And whether or not you make it through the wilderness, if you remember in the Old Testament, there wasn't very many made it through the wilderness. They all died in the wilderness. And there are literally probably thousands and thousands of Christians who are today dying, never having understood the message of the wilderness and are dying without experiencing the good land. Pentecost is about discovering that God is in you. You remember I said last night that Passover was God coming to you. That's your first experience. Is God comes to you. And you understand the message of the blood and forgiveness. But now we come into Pentecost in the wilderness, and now we understand that God is in us. But we don't, because of the religiosity and the religious teachings, we haven't had a clear, precise word so that we can begin to understand that it's not a matter then of taking this old nature and making it new, but it's all about the new nature, Christ in me beginning to grow. It's Christ in me that's the hope of glory. So we begin to fellowship and speak from our spiritual identity. And as you spend time in His presence and in His Word, and you sit under the proper ministry, the life in you that's the little baby begins to grow. And you discover little things at first. I don't do that anymore. Now, some of the things that have a stronger hold on your life may still be there. Because, see, this is about a journey from spirit to flesh. From your spirit flowing and having a journey until your flesh is fully transformed into His likeness. That's the last thing. It's the spirit, the soul, and the body. So you have to look at this wilderness experience as a journey And it's not about you overcoming the flesh. It's about feeding the baby. It's about nourishing the baby. It's about worshiping God. It's about falling in love with God. Now, if you don't have a proper understanding of God, you can't love Him that way. You'll fear His judgment. One of the greatest horrible things ever put upon God is this teaching that He'll fry you forever in an endless hell, or that He'll annihilate you forever. Once you understand that God will never give up on you until you're in His likeness, you will be able to fall in love with Him. Because you see, He's not dealing with you based upon your performance. He's dealing you as a father deals with his children. And I can guarantee you, even if you have never been regenerated, if you have never experienced God in any way in reality, He has still, all of your life, been working to bring you to the place where you will. All of your heartaches, all of your disappointments, in your case, all of your rejections, all of your put-downs, all of the horrible things that you've been through, is all for a purpose, because there is such a beauty that lies within you. And as the shell of that outward man is broken, it releases the beauty of his essence. And some people don't even understand why they're going through what they go through. They haven't met God. They haven't been regenerated. But He's still working in them to bring them to an expected end. Because He's not the father of a few. He's the father of humanity. And you will learn to value every person as God values them. Because we all came from the same source. In the beginning, God created man in His image, a spiritual being. And then in Genesis chapter 2, He formed man from the dust of the ground. So you are both a creature of the dust of the ground, but you are also an endless spiritual being that is housed in this body. Some of these things may sound very strange to you. That's why I said to you last night, you are not obligated to believe my word. But if you will go to the Father and you will spend time in His presence, He will reveal to you that in your being is the most precious essence of His being. There have been prostitutes receive this word. I've had homosexuals and lesbians come to me with tears in their eyes saying they've been set free. Because God revealed to them He was not condemning them for their condition, but He was loving them and would always love them and would never stop working in their lives until they came to that place in Him that He designed for them. You see, that's why there's verses in the Bible like, you were chosen in Him before the foundations of the world, that you would be holy and without blame before Him. So why do we think we can take this human carnal personality and make it holy and without blame before Him? We all know that's impossible. Yet in our true nature and our true identity, we already are what we're trying to become in the natural. So we need to look away from what we are in the flesh. Look away unto Him who is able to save you to the uttermost. Amen. We need feel no condemnation over all of these works of the flesh. We really need no condemnation. We just need to recognize and not hide, you know. It's not that we ignore these things. It's that we in the light of God, we see all that we are. In the natural, we see all of the habits and the sin and the lust. It's not that we try to hide from that or say it's not real, but we run to the Spirit. And oh, I used to say, oh God, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful to have the realization that I do not any longer have to identify with that lustful creature and all of these things in my life. I no longer have to look at that. I just need to forgive myself. I need to realize that in the deepest part of my being, there is that treasure in the earthen vessel. And so I need to feed the treasure. I don't need to whip up, you know, I don't need to whip the flesh and be hard on myself. I need to forgive myself and feed the baby. Desire the pure milk of the Word. Romans 8 and verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Oh, I used to, the first time I heard that verse, I went around and said it for days. He set me free from the law of sin and death, but yet I found that law working in my members and would continually bring me down. See, it's not a mind trip. It's not an intellectual mind trip. It's a revelation. The law of the Spirit of life will lift you so far above the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. A lot of people would like to throw that verse out. The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Oh, we don't want to throw the law out. You do want to throw out the concept that you have to somehow work it up, or you have to do it with the carnal nature. But the key here is discovering that you are a spiritual being. And you feed the Spirit and nourish the Spirit. And as the Spirit grows within you, you do by nature what the spiritual man does. He fulfills all the righteous requirements of the law. He doesn't have to try to love you. He doesn't have to try to be good to you. He doesn't have to try to overlook your faults. There is a person in you that doesn't know how to do anything but love. There is a person in you that doesn't know how to do anything but look over your faults. Because He knows the truth of your true identity. You see, a spiritual man can love a prostitute or a homosexual and not tell them, you can't do that. But he can love them and minister life to them and cause the seed to grow in them. And what happens? The old sinful nature things, they just fall away. It's completely a matter of identifying with your spiritual nature. And be patient with yourself until the baby in you begins to grow. And we all know that when God arises, His enemies are scattered. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. What does that mean? Don't walk according to the flesh. You know, when a baby begins to walk, he doesn't just get up and walk, does he? So we begin to walk according to the Spirit. We begin to set our minds on the things of the Spirit. For it says here, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So there are some choices that we have to make. Now, we make choices that in our carnal minds, we know we're going to make these choices, but we know by experience we're going to fail. I used to say to God, God, I choose not to do this. And yet I'd know when I was, you know, doing my best not to do it, I knew I would do it again. And you know, that's what Paul said in Romans chapter 7. I delight after the law of God in my inward man, but I find that other law working in my members, pulling me down and bringing me into the law of sin and death. But you know, you learn to walk through practice and application. And again, when a baby begins to walk and he falls down, he doesn't get discouraged. You see, when we begin to try to walk according to the Spirit, and our flesh rises up, rather than bemoan and wail and, you know, we feel so bad and we expected so much better out of ourselves, we just need to realize the blood has been shed. That's what Passover is all about. If you will learn how to forgive yourself, create forgiveness, you will find the baby in you will begin to grow very quickly. But if you bemoan and bewail and you keep yourself under condemnation, you cannot appreciate what God has provided for you. He says, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed the transgressions of my people. So begin to, and this is a practice, begin to set your mind upon your spiritual nature. The word repent means to change your mind. You need to change your mind about who you are. Because for too long we've been identifying with the carnal nature. And that is not who we are. That is a sin principle that is operating in us because the baby needs to grow. And just as the life sap in the spring will push out the dead leaves on a tree, so the Spirit of God rising in you will push out all of the residue of that sin principle. Yeah. It sounds easy, but it is easy. It's very simple. But you have to be very forgiving to yourself. And if you fall 100 times a day, you have to learn, and you will learn to appreciate forgiveness like you never thought possible. You see, you'll quit condemning yourself and you'll begin to forgive yourself. You'll be able to be so appreciative that God has provided a way while the baby in you is growing for you to enjoy His forgiveness. And you'll come into such an overwhelming love of His presence that is growing within you. And, you know, I'm sure you've all done this. I used to pray, oh, God, I just need your presence. Oh, God, because it's a wonderful thing. But let me tell you something. When the baby grows up, you become the presence of God. I can't remember the last time I asked God to sense His presence. Now, that doesn't mean I'm always emotionally, you know, sensing this, you know, high experience of His presence. But I just am the presence of God. Right. And when you begin to walk in that knowledge and in that revelation, when the baby begins to grow in you, again, I say this all the time, but it's so true. Christ does not have to try to be godly. I mean, it's ridiculous. When you find yourself trying to be godly, you know you're in the flesh. Because God is just who He is. Christ in you, your true nature and identity, I mean, He just begins to grow and flow. And just as you no longer, or excuse me, you never have had to try to wake up in the morning and figure out how to be a human. Yet that's what, in religion, that's what we do. We wake up in the morning and we try to figure out how in the world today can I improve my life? How can I be more like God today? Well, you see, that was the temptation in the very beginning, was that I would become God. What do I need to do to become God? You know, the correct answer to the serpent was, I am already in the likeness of God. Amen. So when you discover the baby begins to grow within you, it's effortless for you to be what he is. He becomes you. Now that's the experience of tabernacles. In Pentecost, it's Christ in you. But see, there's still two people in this temple. There's still the natural and the spiritual working in this temple. So you realize that Christ is in me. But yet I still have the carnal reasoning, the carnal mind, you know. But when you walk and you get through this journey of the soul, and you begin to walk into what we are beginning to walk in these days, in tabernacles, you no longer, you realize that it's not just God in me, but it's God as me. It's God once again manifesting his beauty and loveliness in the flesh. See, it's not about you becoming anything. It's about God filling you with his presence and his nature and his ability. And no, again, I want to make it clear, I'm not saying that I'm becoming a god. That's absolutely ridiculous. But God is filling this temple with himself. And that's what he wants to do in everyone. So begin to mind the things of the Spirit. What feeds your spirit? Is it a tape? Is it a book? Is it a certain message? You know, I've had certain messages that I have listened to probably 100 times. Because I remember there was one message by Dwight Thompson. Many, probably 20 years ago, he gave this message. At that time, the message was so full of the presence of God. I remember you used to go out in the morning, I'd put that tape in my car, and Dwight would begin to give this message, and I'd be, oh, the presence of God would fill my car, and I'd sit there and cry. I tell you, whatever feeds your spirit, begin to set your mind on spiritual things. See, and it's not a matter of do's and don'ts. It really isn't. But feed your spirit. There are many authors today, many writers, many speakers today who are speaking such realities to the people of God. You need to avail yourself of the ministries today that are feeding the body of Christ and helping bring them to maturity. And you know, it is our choice. But as long as we continue to choose the carnal things, we'll always be a carnal person. And again, it's not a matter of do's and don'ts, but it's like even in the Old Testament, it is said, choose today. What do you want, life or death? Because if there's something in you that wants life, then begin to make the right choices. And of course you'll fail. The little baby is a little baby. And I know Christians that have been Christians for 60 and 70 years, and they're still little babies. But it's not too late to begin to feed the baby. It's not too late to get out of the religion and to begin to feed the baby and watch him grow. I want to read this in Romans chapter 7. I won't talk too much about it. We already have so many times. But Paul says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I don't want to do. And what I want to do, that's what I don't do. If I do that which I don't want, I consent unto the law that it is good. But then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. You see what he's saying? In these verses, he's trying to get you to shift your identity. From one who is living under the law in a carnal human being, he wants you to realize that sin principle that is working in you, he said, it is no longer I that do it, but it's the sin principle that operates in me. And that's why God does not hold you accountable for your sin, because it's that principle that's still working in you, and you can't help it. The only hope you have is for the life in you to grow and push out that sin principle. It's the only hope you have. Knowing that a man, in Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no one be justified. The whole matter of overcoming is to have a shift in your identity. Is to begin to focus on Christ in you, not what is still in your natural mind and thinking. Know that there is a life in you that knows nothing but success, knows no defeat and no failure. John said, let me find it. He said, he that is born of God does not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. Now that's the new man. Years ago, when I was still in religion, I read that, and I tend to thought I wasn't saved, because I surely sinned all the time. But that's not what John is saying here. That seed, he that is born of God, doth not sin, neither indeed can he, because he is birthed of God. You have a life in you. It's impossible for that life to sin. So shift your identity. Spend time in the presence of God. Ask Him to reveal these things to you. Begin to feed the baby. I remember when I was learning these things, I realized that there was a life in me that was never impatient. The life in me was never in anxiety. And so, you know, I thought, you know, I began to believe this, and I thought, somehow I have to practice this. And I used to have a very violent temper. And so I thought, well, now I know this is true. I had experienced enough of his life in me that I knew that there was no reason for me to have a temper if I could somehow, in the midst of whatever it was I was going through, if I could touch that spirit. And the first time I experienced this, I was driving out in the Mojave Desert in the middle of nowhere. And I was, you know, singing songs to God. I was by myself and I was singing, you know, kind of praising God. And I'm in the middle of the desert, and I'm probably 20, 30 miles from anything, and a water hose blows on my car. And when that happened, I just began to talk to God, and I said, Lord, I thank you that in this situation that I'm not going to get angry. And I just began to talk to God, and I found that, you know, I didn't. And I sat there and I thought, now what am I going to do? But I'll tell you, before I would have been so angry and frustrated, I'd have probably got out and kicked the car. But I just said, Lord, whatever it is, whatever you want me to learn in this, it's okay. And immediately a car pulled up behind me. A man got out and he said, what's the problem? And by that time I had my hood up. I said, I busted a water hose. He said, come with me. He went back to his car, he opened a trunk, and in his trunk, I mean, this was a setup. In his trunk, there was nothing but water hoses and water, bottles of water. He had my car fixed in no time, and I was on my road, and God, you know, I realized that was an angel. That was my first visitation of an angel. And I began then, from that point, I'm sure that was my very first experience, I began to practice practically turning to the Lord in every situation. And I got so that my temper just didn't flare up. I think some of you heard my wife share here. She was married to me for how long? 2 years? And she didn't think I was capable of getting mad. And I'm telling you, I was one who I would kick doors down. But because I learned how to turn to my spirit in the midst of these situations, I just didn't get angry anymore. And there was something happened that she witnessed that I did get angry. But in that situation, it was really bad, you know.
Expound that, brother.
Huh?
Expound that.
I went in to see a car dealer. And we had a car that was about 2 years old, and, you know, yeah. And he offered me pennies for my car, and I just exploded. I didn't turn to the Lord. I just exploded. And anyway, I did go back and apologize. But, you know, when those things happen, I thought that anger was all dealt with, but there was still something there of it. And if it's there, God is going to bring it out. And Carol can tell you, you know, it was probably 2 or 3 years that she'd known me. She'd never seen me angry. But when I had that burst of anger, I didn't feel guilty. I felt bad, you know, that I did it. But I went and apologized to the guy. I mean, everything is fine, and we just kept on going. But the point here is that you can learn by practice and application how to learn to live out of your spirit rather than out of your flesh. But you have to practice. It's practice and application. And you can understand then why Paul says if you walk in the spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because what happens, the more you practice, the more you turn to the Lord, the more you fellowship with God, the more time you spend in His presence, the more He grows within you. And you're able then, because you have the experience and the Lord in you has grown to the extent that when something is coming up that's adverse, you can immediately get in spirit. And if you want to fly off the handle, the spirit, lust against the flesh, the spirit will put down the flesh. You see, in Romans chapter 7, Paul said, it is no longer I, but it's the sin principle that's operating in me. But then in Galatians 2:20, there is a progression made. And he said, it's no longer I, but it's Christ. That's where we all are coming to. It's no longer I, but it's Christ. When adverse circumstances and things come up in our lives, Christ comes forth. And Carol and I, we go through a lot of rejection. But there's nothing comes up in here that is resentful. I mean, you can be mean to me. You can do what you want. And there's nothing in me that will do anything but love you. And that's my experience. Now, we all know that's impossible in the carnal nature. But because for years I learned daily to feed the spiritual man and to spend time in his presence until he grows. That, my friends, is the journey through Pentecost and through the wilderness. And when Christ begins to mature in you, he will put down every enemy in your life. And then you will begin, it's a progression, you will begin then to enter into what we call tabernacles, which is God dwelling in his temple. And God then will continue to grow and grow and grow until one day, and I'm not so sure, I don't think it's going to be very far in the future, that we will even be transfigured as Christ was. Do you remember he was transfigured before his crucifixion? A lot of people think we have to die to be like him? We don't. He just has to grow in us and saturate and permeate every cell and every fiber of our being. And the last thing to be changed are these bodies. That's why Paul says, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, you shall be caught up. Physically? I don't think so. But you will be caught up in the heavenly realms. You will walk as one who rules from the heavens and not the earth. That's the catching up that we're all looking for. Anyway, I will close. Would you like to ask me a question? Okay. I would be willing to answer any questions that you might have. At least try. If I can't answer them, Dave can. Where'd he go? There he is. Main thing to remember is you cannot be so carnal that this word won't work. I don't care. If you've been the most sinful person on the earth all of your life and you're 70 years old, if you hear this word, it'll change your life. And Christ will begin to grow in you. Because you see, the seed is the seed, and it may lay dormant for many, many years until someone comes along and speaks life. And you learn how to speak life, and you don't even have to have an altar call. Because as you speak, the seed is germinated. I used to tell people that came to our church, just come and sit. And I guarantee you, if you will sit, if you're an alcoholic, if you're a prostitute, doesn't matter, if you will sit, you will be changed. Amen. Now, God will give you that confidence. And then, that's what a minister is. A minister is someone who can dispense the Spirit of God in the others. It's not about convincing them they're sinners, trying to get them to an altar. It's about dispensing God into their being. Amen. We are able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit.
This concludes this message. For additional tape copies or for more information, you may write Sigler Ministries, that's S like Sam, I-G-L-E-R, P.O. Box 26695, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27114. Or you may telephone us at area code 336-775-4930. Our web address is www.sigler.org. Our email address is orders@sigler.org. All of our tapes are distributed at no charge as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, but you may duplicate them freely for distribution. Many have asked us where to obtain the beautiful music at the end of our tapes. You may write Linda Musgrove, that's M-U-S-G-R-O-V-E, P.O. Box 111, Cunningham, Texas 75434 for information concerning her music.